is America with Rich Valdez, powered by PolitiWeek.com.
And Rich Valdez is with us, former Christie administration official.
You worked for Chris Christie, you've been in politics, done a lot of public service stuff.
Rich Valdez, columnist now with the Washington Times.
This is America.
Richie V, you're on the air with the nation.
The nation.
This is America
with your host, Rich Valdez.
What's up, America? I am Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S, your liberty-loving Latino amigo right here, 17 blocks away from Madison Square Garden, New York City, and we got a lot to talk about. Right here in the city, there's these protests going on because New York City workers are saying no more vaccine mandates, nada, zilch, zero, pushing back against the de Blasio administration, many of them cops and firefighters that are taken to the streets. And what I find interesting about this is Eric Adams is a cop, right? He's a retired cop that was, according to the accounts of most cops that worked with him, that say the guy was never a cop. He was always a paper pusher. He was always an activist. He was never really on the street as a cop. That's why he went the political route and became a captain. I wasn't there. I can't attest to that. But I can say, is he going to turn his back on the people that endorsed him, like essential Andy Cuomo and, of course, Bill El Bobo de Blasio? Well, elite Eric Adams may, in fact, have to turn his back if he wants to succeed. But my hope is that he doesn't turn his back on the cops and that he sticks with the vaccine mandates and ostracizes that group of people so that they can see what he's really made of. We'll see who he chooses, the establishment or the people. But over the weekend, I spent some time with Curtis Sliwa on Saturday. I went down to campaign with him in New York City for that big mayor's race that's coming up. And of course, I passed Eric Adams's apartment building right here where he lives in Fort Lee, New Jersey, and waved as I was crossing the Washington Bridge to go to meet up with Curtis Sliwa, the real deal, the OG, the original guardian angel himself in Washington Heights on 175th Street and Broadway. And we had a lot of media coverage, which was pretty cool on a Saturday for the New York Times to be out there, CBS News, Yahoo News. It was just a lot of different outlets. And I'm glad that he's getting that media coverage because his campaign is really taking off. And Curtis was very clear. He said, look, I do not support mandates. Take the vaccine if you like, but we can't force people to take this thing. We can't end people's livelihoods over this. And Curtis, of course, is the Republican candidate for mayor in New York City. And I think he's doing a fantastic job, very similar, in my opinion, to the way Trump ran. Trump ran getting media coverage. He leveraged the media. He didn't try to outspend Hillary Clinton. She outspent him 9 or 10 to 1. And she had almost $1 billion in her race. She bought commercials up the wazoo. Trump visited all the states. He did what he had to do. He went, he pressed the flesh, he held the rallies, he did the campaign. And that's exactly what Curtis Sliwa was doing. He's bringing it to the people. Just yesterday, he was with, I don't know, over 1,000 people at the vaccine mandate rally where they were saying no more mandates right in front of City Hall. And they walked over to Brooklyn Bridge to let him know. Then on Saturday, we were on a float, an actual parade float, riding through Washington Heights, the Upper East Side, Fordham Road in the Bronx, Kingsbridge in the Bronx, Grand Concourse in the Bronx. We were all over the place. So we saw the Dominicans, we saw the Boricuas, we had a great time. There's a couple of videos of that out in the media. And of course, I put one on my Instagram if you want to check that out, at Rich Valdez with an S, at Rich Valdez on Instagram. Give a follow because once we hit a certain number, there's more features and whatnot. I'm trying to hit that number. And anyway, I want to talk about this vaccine mandate stuff. The vaccine mandates, I think, are pretty out of control. Now, when we look at the stuff that's happening, there's a pretty interesting turn of events, right? I mean, you've got people that are really just out and out saying what they mean and what they feel. And what I mean is like Noam Chomsky, right? He's an old school, quote unquote, academic. He's one of these, fundamental radical leftists. But people think he's like one of the smartest guys in the world. And he's not. And he's on this show called Primo Radical. And they ask him a question. Listen to this.
When you talk about folks having the freedom to, you know, separate if they don't want to abide by these vaccine mandates, what would that look like on a practical level? Does that mean that folks need to stay home and have like groceries delivered to them? Does it mean like separated communities of folks who are unvaccinated or just, you know, how do you think this would practically play out?
Same way as with people who say that I don't want to accept traffic rules.
All right, hold on. So Noam Chomsky says, oh, it's the same way as those that say they don't want to accept traffic rules. So you mean to tell me that some quote-unquote vaccine, this mRNA, whatever it is, this we don't really know much about it. The technology's been around for a long time, but this particular vaccine is not. There's one report out today, and I don't know the details of it, but the headline was more people died in the clinical trial for COVID-19 versus placebo than actually from COVID-19. And I thought, that can't be real. But my point is, this guy's here looking like Father Time. He's falling apart, this Noam Chomsky. He hasn't cut his hair in probably about 4 years. He looks like he's, you know, 1 foot in the grave. And he's saying that it's akin to stopping at a stop sign, putting this thing in your arm. Come on, you've got to be kidding me. Anyway.
I suppose there were people who said, it's an attack on my liberty to make me stop at a red light. It's government overreach. We don't want the state to have that power over my private life.
But just to argue there, if you want to make that, you can. There are some radical libertarians out there. They call themselves sovereign citizens and whatever, and they end up getting locked up and beaten down half the time when they try that. They just put the good stuff on YouTube. But these guys are radical, right? There's no comparison to me saying you're it's an overreach, because you're not asking me to do something with my health. It doesn't damage my health to stop at a stop sign. I'm not injecting some foreign unknown thing into my body. It's not a violation of my worship activity, right? Some people feel if you are forcing this inoculation upon them, that they're not giving God a chance to provide them with this protection. I mean, these are legitimate things when it comes to religious liberty. This is not the same as driving a car, Noam Chomsky, but let's continue.
Well, such people should have the decency to remove themselves from the community. If they refuse to do that, then measures have to be taken to safeguard the community from them. Then comes the practical question that you ask, how can we get food to them? Well, that's actually their problem.
Wow, problema tuyo. Now listen, I can be as draconian as the next guy, but for real, Noam Chomsky, we're just going to tell people they can't eat because they don't want to play by your vaccine rules? Listen, nobody's saying if you haven't gotten the measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, and the rest of those vaccines that you're required to take to go to public school, nobody's saying that you can't go to ShopRite or Walmart or the bodega, right? Nobody said that. I mean, this is some very radical, heavy-handed, Orwellian type of thing right here.
Of course, if they really become destitute, then yes, you'd have to move in with some measure to secure their survival, just as you do with people in jail, for example. But that's...
Just as you do with people in jail, for example... So this guy, este viejo baboso, this old bumbling man, he's, again, like 4,000 years old. And he thinks just because you don't want to take a shot, you don't have a right to even eat. You don't even have a right to have freedom. That is the damn problem.
It's really not the issue.
Oh, it's really not the issue, he says. Let me tell you something. This exactly is the problem. It's exactly this that is the issue, that the left believes that they have a right over you and that you must succumb to their will. This is why they always push the idea of democracy, because you could be in a room with a bunch of idiots and they could say by a show of hands, in a very democratic vote, by a show of hands, who thinks it's a good idea to, you know, toss somebody off a bridge? And you might be like, oh, hell no, I'm not getting involved in that. And then 8 out of 10 people raise their hands. The other person's like, oh, I'm not sure. And you're like, oh, hell no. Pure democracy doesn't make it right. The fact that all these idiots want the same thing doesn't mean that they have a right to my liberty. It doesn't mean they have a right to my own sovereignty as a human being, as an individual with my own inalienable God-given rights. I mean, is it just me, or are things truly out of control? I just sometimes I get really concerned here because, I mean, esto está bien mal, bien, bien mal. Anyway. Straight ahead, I want to talk about what's going on with the technology sector and what's going on with Governor Phil Murphy in New Jersey. Project Veritas got to them, and we're going to hear a little bit about that. But I want to talk about what is going on with Biden's latest move to now ban anybody that's unvaccinated from even entering the United States on an airline. So first he raises gas prices. Then he says, all right, you know what? If you're a pilot, if you're this, if you're that, because you're a federal contractor, you've got to be vaccinated. And the pilots and whatever they're saying, you know, we did a whole show on the Southwest Airlines thing and the Delta and everybody, not the Delta variant.
Delta variant.
The Delta Airlines CEO saying, we're not going to do this. It's a huge deal. And now the next nail has been nailed into the coffin saying, oh, well, you know what? Just because you're having trouble filling your jobs with the vaccinated, let me go ahead and add insult to injury and say that, you know what, you now have to only fly in vaccinated visitors. Of course, this is going to put a hamper on what's going on with our economy. Things are going to be in a tailspin. But you think Biden cares? No, of course not. Joe El Baboso Biden doesn't give a damn. Just like Governor Phil Murphy doesn't give a damn in New Jersey about his vaccine. Well, maybe he gives a little bit of a damn because he says, well, I'm not going to announce any of these mandates in New Jersey because he's, you know, one of the two governors defending his governorship this year. You've got Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin facing off for the term limited out Governor Blackface, Ralph Northam. So they're going to duke it out for that seat. But in New Jersey, Murphy has a reelection, a potential reelection. Jack Citarelli is challenging him. I've endorsed Jack Citarelli, but it comes as no surprise to me when I see this broke last night from Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, undercover reporter inside the Murphy campaign, speaking with Wendy Martinez, senior advisor to Phil Murphy, saying, no, 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 we're going to do a mandate. We can't do it right now. I think you're going to enjoy this. Check this out.
No va a ser, pero no puede hacer, no podía hacer.
Now, let me
no va a ser,
no,
pero
no, no, hold it.
No va,
security,
no va.
Security, stop that. She's starting off in Spanish and she's explaining that it's not going to happen right now because of the elections. And then they translate it, fortunately for us. All right, check this out.
No va a ser, pero no puede hacer, no podía hacerlo antes de la elección.
The independent deciders would not vote for him if he did the vandal.
Because they're into all that sh**. My rights, my sh**.
Once you know we have a win, it's like, all right, guns blazing, like who cares? I mean, let's do the mandates, let's do this, the X, Y.
Project Veritas has obtained hidden camera recordings inside Governor Phil Murphy's campaign, including from a senior advisor who admits to hiding information from voters until after the election in order to appeal to undecided and moderate voters.
Pero, ¿cómo así los mandates?
La vaccine mandates. Como California, que está el mandato que todo el mundo tiene que tener la vacuna.
Lo va a hacer, pero no puede hacer, no podía hacerlo antes de la elección.
Exacto.
Porque
si no se tira todo el mundo.
Independent y lo undecided.
All right, so the one person, the Project Veritas person, is explaining to her, listen, we've got to do it like California, those vaccine mandates where everybody's got to take it. And she shakes her head, says, no, like she acknowledges, she understands it. She says, no, we can't do that because the independents and the undecided voters wouldn't vote for him if he did those mandates before the elections.
Mm-hmm. The independent deciders would not vote for him if he did the vandal.
Because they're into all that my rights, my and they don't care that they kill everybody.
Well, that's good to know then, that after he wins, then he'll do the mandates, the vaccine mandates.
He will. But right now it's about him winning. It'll be fine.
This appears to be a top-down understanding. Matthew Urquijo, a manager for New Jersey Forward, which is a campaign project funded by the Democratic State Committee of New Jersey, he echoes the same sentiment.
Do you think he'll do something about that, like the vaccine mandates and stuff?
I think so. I think the problem is right now, because it's election season, he's not going to have people say, like, we're going to have a mandate now. And, you know, stuff's, for some people, it's going to piss them off. I think once you know we have a win, it's like, all right, guns blazing. Like, who cares? I mean,
okay, so once he knows he's got to win, it's like guns blazing. Who cares? Let's do the mandates. Let's do this. X, Y, and Z.
Let's do the mandates. Let's do this, the X, Y, and Z.
So you think if he talks about mandates for vaccines now, he won't get elected because it's a lot of pushback?
But I think there's some people that, you know, might push back.
If politicians stood as firmly behind their stances as we're led to believe, then why do they feel the need to hide this information from voters? We look forward to hearing from the Phil Murphy campaign, and we look forward to releasing the next installment inside of Phil Murphy's campaign very soon.
Thank you, James O'Keefe, for that update. And listen, full disclosure, I worked with O'Keefe. He hired me some years ago, 2014 to 2015. I was the national field director and director of special operations and had most of these undercover journalists, undercover filmmakers out in the field putting these stories together. So I'm very familiar with the work that had to go into something like this. And I can tell you there's 15, 16 lawyers, at least at that time there was, that you run things through to make sure that you're doing everything on the up and up and you're just exposing the truth a la Nellie Bly. If you don't know who Nellie Bly is, check her out, look her up. She was a fascinating undercover journalist back in the early 1900s that went undercover for, I think back then it was maybe Cosmopolitan magazine when it was still a news magazine. And she pretended to be crazy to see what type of abuse was going on in the mental hospitals. And then finally, when they started abusing her, she was like, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm an undercover journalist. And I don't know if they wanted to let her out right away, but they eventually did. And she helped put an end to the abuse that was going on with people that they said was crazy back in the day. Great story. She's an intrepid journalist, Nellie Bly, and James O'Keefe, another intrepid journalist in today's day and age, with this great story. And I'm looking forward to the next installment. I saw something that he shared on Instagram last night, and it was interesting to me because it's a threatening letter from the law offices representing the Democrat Party saying, in effect, listen, don't go deleting any of your hard drives. Don't go deleting any of your memory cards because we plan to sue you. And I'm thinking that's like somebody saying, listen, I plan to shoot you. Don't go putting on a bulletproof vest. Don't go grabbing your gun. But you don't have any control over that unless a judge gives you some sort of temporary injunction or something like that. There's not going to be any doing it. Not that he's going to erase anything. O'Keefe is infamous, or I should say famous, for releasing the RAW for many years. It just became a lot of work, but he released all of the RAW footage from how he put his videos together just so that people could decide for themselves, because these videos do speak for themselves. Anyway, straight ahead, I want to talk about Joe El Baboso Biden and the latest in the Let's Go Brandon fiasco. Keep it locked right there. I'm Rich Valdez.
This is America. This is America.
All right, America, welcome back. Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S. And yes, another anti-Biden rap song, Let's Go Brandon, reaches the top spot, number one on iTunes. Again, this time it's my guy, Bryson Gray. Bryson's rap is terrific. I mean, this song is a terrific song in general. His flow is very original. Check him out if you can. Subscribe to his social media accounts and download this song, Let's Go Brandon, from Bryson Gray, B-R-Y-S-O-N Gray. Bryson creates on Instagram. This guy is terrific. But Let's Go Brandon, which takes multiple shots at Biden regarding his chaotic Afghanistan withdrawal and his cognitive ability and his handling of the coronavirus, features Tyson James and Chandler Crump. And this is in foxbusiness.com from, I think, last night. Gray's Let's Go Brandon music video features the rapper in a Make America Great Again hat with an Impeach Biden t-shirt as lyrics such as Let's Go Brandon appear as he's going through it. He really, he nails it. I'm looking at the screenshot right here with Let's Go Brandon just ahead in the number one slot, right? So who's number two? Adele. That lets you know how serious this Let's Go Brandon, it really is. And he's overtaken in the number three spot the last guy that made that Let's Go Brandon song that we talked about a couple episodes ago. I think his name was Lazo Alexander. Hopefully I said that right. But this just tells me people are genuinely sick and tired of this. And the reason I know, I went out the other day with my buddy Juan. Big shout out to my man Juan. Celebrated a birthday recently. And we went to a diner. That's a thing in Jersey. If you're listening from across the country, we have more jerseys, I think, excuse me, more jerseys, more diners in Jersey than anywhere else. And what I find interesting is I went and I ordered some sweet potato fries with cheese on top, melted mozzarella, and that's my diner go-to. And I went to go pay, and as we're waiting for the person to come up to ring us up at the register, see a tall dude wearing a black hoodie, and it says in this like American flag font, FJB. And I'm looking and I'm like, FJB, what does that mean? Because it looked like it was a fire department hoodie. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Ding! FJB, let's go, Brandon! And I said it out loud. He started to laugh. It was really funny. And I happened to be wearing my camouflage mesh back American flag, Liberty Loving Latino Amigo baseball cap, which you can get at richvaldez.com or check my social media and find the link to the merch store. But the waitress was like, I love your hat. Really cool. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. You know, there's a lot of love. I'm talking about blue jersey over here. There's a lot of love for what's happening right here in New Jersey with the direction the country's going, and people want what Trump was offering. And at the very least, they don't want what Biden's offering. And I think that's the big takeaway here. It's super important that I think we recognize that and we realize that we're not in the best of shape here. We really aren't. We really got to pull it together. We've really got to realize that this is not a good place to be. Biden is hurting us on so many different fronts. And I don't want to beat a dead horse. I'm just going to, just again, off the top of the head. Gas prices are going up again. Unemployment for many people, not looking good. People are losing their jobs because of vaccine mandates. We're going to have weaker police departments, although that's probably part of their design. What they couldn't achieve through the defund the police movement, they're achieving through the vaccine mandate. They're going to get rid of the people that are independent, free thinkers, the heterodoxy people. They're going to say, you're out of here. Just imagine a police department where everybody just does what they're told. Now, I'm not saying we should have rebels. I'm just saying a lot of these people are going to end up in some political movement, and it's quite likely they're going to end up in a political movement that opposes the political movement that has embraced the vaccine mandate. So these people are all going to eventually vote, and they're going to vote their feelings, they're going to vote their heart, their values, their conscience. And I think that we're going to see a shift in the balance of power in both houses of Congress. It's not a prediction. It's just what I see on the wall. I think we're going to see a very close, if not even a victory for Republicans in Virginia for the gubernatorial race. And I think we're going to see a little bit of a surprise in New Jersey as well. I don't know what that surprise is just yet, because this is one tough state here. That's like pulling off a Republican win in California. It's really tough. But it doesn't mean it's impossible, because there's always an underdog. And lately, it seems like people are siding with the underdog. And that's why Dave Chappelle is somebody I'm going to give a few minutes of airtime to yet again. We're not going to play any clips from his show, but my friend Lauren Conlon, she is a entertainment reporter. And while I was on the Newsmax today, I did my weekly Newsmax segment. I did actually three segments today. If you got to see them, great. If not, I'll put the videos out on Twitter and get her at Rich Valdez with an S, at Rich Valdez. But the topic, one of the topics we did today was how certain universities are introducing woke mathematics, or what they're calling mathematics for social justice. And I'm thinking, you can apply mathematics to just about any topic, because mathematics is mathematics. But they're trying to use mathematics to prove or show or illustrate that there is, in their opinion, inequity in many different ways, because you should make as much money as me, and I should make as much money as you. I should be as tall as you. I should weigh as much as you, right? That's how it works. Not so much, but they don't believe in differences. They don't believe in individuality. And my comment there was, 2 + 2 has never equaled racism. It didn't then, and it doesn't today. But this is what they want. And that's what the left wants to ultimately do, is take you, control you, and have you do what they want you to do for their benefit, for their political advancement. So that's what they're doing to Dave Chappelle. And he's come out with a statement, so I'm going to read you that statement, and we're going to discuss it with my friend Lauren Conlon, who was also on Newsmax right after me. So if you saw her there, you could check her out here as well. Don't move a muscle. Keep it locked right there. I am Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S, and I want to thank you for all of the five-star ratings and for all of the reviews that you put on Apple Podcasts. It means the world that we constantly maintain in the top 100, and when we fall out of it, the top 200 of all news commentary podcasts. That is an honor to me. I thank you for that. And for those of you who listen to me on the Mark Levin Show as Mr. Call Screener, thank you again for that as well. And also, one more editorial note. Our friends at Just Facts, I have to give them a big shout out because they put together some of the best non-biased research material out there, justfacts.com. If you want to sign up for their free newsletter, justfacts.com/rich, justfacts.com/rich, and you can sign up absolutely free. They have some tremendous stuff out there on coronavirus, on income inequality, you name it. James Agresti is one of the best researchers, and he nails it each and every time, always has his hand on the pulse. Give them a follow on social media as well, justfacts.com/rich. Now, when we come back, Dave Chappelle.
This is America. This is America.
All right, America, welcome back. Rich Valdez, Valdez with an S, 17 blocks away from Madison Square Garden, New York City. And we're talking about Dave Chappelle. He's still not out of the limelight. He's still catching heat from every angle. And this morning I was on Newsmax and I left the TV on. And a little while ago, there was Lauren Conlon, entertainment reporter. You guys know her from Red Carpet Rendezvous. And Lauren Conlon joins me right now to break down this whole Dave Chappelle drama. Lauren, tell me what's going on.
Hey, Rich. First of all, I miss you. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I got to see you last week. So I just got done talking about the Dave Chappelle drama. Now, the joke is on everybody else. The joke is on the far left trying to cancel him because his shows are selling out around the world right now, or I should say around the country. So, you know, he has The Closer on Netflix. He has a new documentary coming out. It's being said that the documentary is not going to get picked up anywhere because of his comments about the trans community. Now, people need to do their research, Rich. Dave is friendly with the trans community. He, you know, I was just saying, I saw his stand-up this summer at Foxwoods. He did a whole bit, and I don't even want to call it a bit because it wasn't funny. It was actually serious, about how he had a friend named Daphne Dorman, who was a trans comedian, who killed herself, not because of anything he said or because of society, because of her community, because of the trans community. That is why she killed herself. She was tortured by them. It's crazy to me. He's a comedian. He's doing his job. He's making light of things that we need to normalize in our culture and our society. Everybody calm down. Stop playing victim. Something else I brought up, that if Netflix takes this down, which I don't think they will since they fired an employee over, you know, staging the march out, over this, over The Closer, if they do end up taking it down, I'm going to be so pissed because there was a petition. Well, there was a petition for Cuties, that disgusting display of child pornography, that they didn't take down at all.
Now, so, you know, Lauren Conlon, I just want to make a point. Yeah. That is actually why I stopped my subscription to Netflix, was because I thought Cuties was out of control. And I haven't had it since. And through a friend, I was able to watch the Dave Chappelle stand-up show because I don't have it. And I think to myself, yeah, they're happy with those things. They're happy with everything else that's on there. But this seems to be a problem.
Yeah, exactly. I think you and I had discussed this on your Long Island radio show previously, the Cuties thing. But yeah, it's just like, gosh, I mean, clearly it's never going to stop. But trans community, like, you guys need to know, and the LGBTQ community, you're not alone here, all right? Pete Davidson deals with people or comedians joking about his dad, you know, burning in 9/11. I mean, there's Holocaust jokes. There's a lot. There's COVID jokes. And there's just a lot of jokes that we as a society, you know, we enjoy hearing them, even though they make us uncomfortable, because it helps us cope with these terrible things that have happened. Now, when it comes to, you know, trans and being gay and even like rape jokes, I mean, it's terrible that, and if it hurts people's feelings, it's sad. I feel terrible about that. But the reality is, it's almost normalizing, you know, these things that might not be normal to certain people.
And yeah, I don't think we should ever joke about rape. But again, it's art imitating life. And sometimes you try to find the humor in the gruesome. And in this case, you know, I watched his special when he talked about his friend Daphne Dorman. And I did a whole segment on this as well, two episodes ago. He was very contrite. It wasn't something where he was saying, oh, yeah, you know, go kill yourself or anything like that. I mean, it was incredibly appropriate, in my opinion. He paid tribute to her. And oddly, the case was how the trans community just said, you know what, we're just going to do away with you, even though there were members of their own community that did that. So now he's issued this new statement that came out yesterday, and obviously he's in heat all over again, saying, you know, that he's not bending to anybody's demands. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I get it. He said, I'm willing to meet with the trans community, but not on your terms, on my terms. You guys can hear me out. You know, and he also blamed what's going on with him, not on the trans community, but on corporate America, which I somewhat disagree with. I think that he should blame it on the woke left that is influencing corporate America, who thinks that they have to conform to whatever, you know, the left wants, because that's the audience. So I guess he's partially right. But, you know, I just don't think that comedians in general, unless it's something, I don't even know what could cause them to get completely canceled, but it's not this. Sorry.
Right. Well, the whole idea of cancel and cancel culture is this idea that we're just going to stop your cash flow. We're going to, it's not even a boycott of a company or a product. This is the utter destruction of someone's existence without killing them. And that's what they really aim to do. And sadly, this is what we see all too often. And it,
you're right,
of itself is a kind of radical left idea where they just want to use that BDS movement that they use on Israel, the boycott, divest, and sanction on people, on individuals, in this case, a black comedian. And I say black to play by their rules. I could care less what color Dave Chappelle is. I think we've had a slew of comedians from George Carlin forward, Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, happen to be black. But these guys were controversial. They did their thing. They pissed off everybody. Archie Bunker, right? Carol O'Connor. There's been so many people that have crossed whatever line. I think comedians do that. Artists do that. Talk show hosts do it. Yeah. Lots of people do it. And it's one of those things where, all right, if your employer doesn't like it, they can fire you. In this case, his employer said, no, we're making millions upon millions. We're going to do it. And the person that tried to out you, we're going to get rid of them. So I'm thinking, I think I'm in agreement with you that, yeah, it's the woke left. And it's the woke left having their claws sunken so deeply into corporate America, getting their people on boards of directors and trying to control everything. And that's ultimately what this whole cultural Marxism and what Levin calls the American Marxism movement is all about. And it's sadly affecting comedy now.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny. He brings up so many good points in his special that I think that people just don't want to acknowledge. He's like, you know, as a gay white man, you are a minority as a gay man until you don't need to be. It's like you use it and that's fine. Like that is totally fine. You know, there's that term, use what your mama gave you. I mean, I'm a female. I use what my mama gave me. I am okay with it. I am not, you know what I mean? Like we all kind of do what we have to do. I don't know. Did that come out wrong?
Rich, well, I use my hair for a lot.
Wait, what?
You'd be so surprised at what I get away with because of my hair.
Oh, because your hair. Wow. Okay. That was very cute. I love your hair on your face, but
thank you.
I miss the days that it was on your head. I didn't know you then. That's too bad. But yeah, so it's just so funny, but honestly, stop canceling comedians. Like they're working adults just like we are, you know, leave them alone.
I agree. Lauren Conlon, tell everybody where they can find you.
Thank you, Rich Valdez. They can find me on Instagram at Lauren_interviews and on Twitter at Conlon_Lauren. And they can follow me on Facebook at Lauren Conlon.
And Lauren Conlon, again, she interviews celebrities and talks about the different things that are going on in the entertainment industry. And again, if people want to subscribe to your podcast, how do they do that?
Yes. So I recently renamed my podcast to Lauren Interviews. You can still find it under Red Carpet Rendezvous as well, but you can find it on any podcast outlet.
Excellent. Lauren Conlon, thank you so much. And I always let you guys know that if you stand for nothing, you fall for anything. So that's why I say, look, you've got to do what you got to do. You got to stand up and be brave like Chappelle and say, I'm not bowing down to your will. Because the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good people like you to sit there and do nothing. So until the next time, hasta la próxima. I am Rich Valdez, and this is America.
This is America.